Me and my father, we were very different in regards to the way we thought, in the way we acted, in the way we saw things. And I had an older brother. He was 13 months older than me. Him and my father were very much alike. And so carpentry, things of that nature, my brother gravitated towards those things, and that was looked at as the right thing. And me, because I didn't do those things, I was in the wrong. I was less, I was stupid, I was good for nothing, a mental midget, a lot of comments like that growing up. Really difficult to grow up in that environment and never feel an acceptance, never feel like you could do anything right to please, you know, your father in whom you do love. Once I kind of got into the high school scene, obviously everybody, or a lot of kids, smoke weed in high school. Drugs were something in which, for me, really were very appealing. You know, it was something in which could just put me in this land of freedom, in which I thought was freedom, you know. You start off smoking weed, and it's really fun, and it's really cool, and other kids kind of think you're cool for doing it. Then from there, you know, obviously, you only do that for so long until you realize that drug dealers also sell other drugs. You get into pills, you get into hallucinogenics, all that, you know, wild and crazy stuff. A lot of these events are serious events for me, because when I look back in hindsight, I should have died. I should have had something happen. I don't have a criminal record. There have been numerous things, and when I speak to people, you know, that don't know me, I said, it doesn't make any sense for me to be here right now. I should be dead, I should be in jail, or I should be on drugs somewhere. For me to be right here makes no sense. It's not coincidental. It's not I pulled myself up by my bootstraps or any of that nonsense. It's not, and you can't convince me otherwise. So I graduated. My friends went off to college. I had no idea what I was going to do. So I'm talking to my buddy one evening on the telephone, and I'm saying, yeah, I'm really confused, you know? I got these questions, and this guy's not a believer. And it's like a Wednesday evening at 10:30, I hang up the phone. I end up getting a call back that night, about 10 minutes later. And it's this pastor at a Baptist church, Mud Creek Baptist, his name is Mark Honeycutt, calls me up. He says, yeah, I hear you got some questions. Turns out the friend I was talking to calls this guy, he calls me. And I said, yeah, I got questions, you got answers, you know? So I talked to him for like 2 hours that evening. And at the end of the conversation, I accepted Christ. The response from my father was, what the blankety blank are the blankety blank Christians gonna do for me? And he was still gonna kick me out of the house. So I'm running out of time, right? And I'm like, God, what in the world do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Babs, she mentions this program for these, like, you know, it's a Christian-style drug rehab program, I believe, something of that nature. This guy writes me a letter, encourages me to go out there. But it was just like, that's not where I was to go. And I didn't understand it, how I knew, you know, it was just like, no, I shouldn't go there, but I don't know what to do. And it was just like, go in the military. You know, my father had always wanted me to go in the Air Force. He did the Air Force, go in the Air Force. So I said, yeah, I'll check that out. So I went to the Air Force thing, I took the test, I got the results back. I didn't qualify for anything. They said, no way, you know. So I'm thinking, well, God doesn't want me to go to the Air Force. They said, no, apply for a waiver. I applied for a waiver. It turns out, got approved, you know, mechanical aptitude area. Recruiter calls, says, when do you want to go? I'm saying, oh, you know, I mean, maybe in a little while, though. My father, who's that on the phone? Oh, it's the recruiter. What's he want? Oh, he wants to know when I can go. Oh, you're out of the house. You're out. So said, how soon can you get me in? And it must have been, I mean, from the day I accepted Christ to join in the military was like, it was a ridiculous short period of time. Three weeks, a month, somewhere around there. And so here I am, like, straight, you know, still kind of detoxing from all the drugs. Just become a Christian into Uncle Sam's Army. From there, I left. I got a base. I got stationed out in California. I went out to California. Was there for a couple weeks. Got plugged into this church out there. It turns out this, like, real super small, super old, like, nobody in the church below 50 years of age or something like that. And I'm thinking, you know, I got to get to know people. Well, I was there for 2 months, and it was a Sunday. I went to church, came back to my dorm, was fixing up the room, you know, doing a little cleaning. You got to do the white glove inspection, make sure everything's clean. Get a knock on the door, and it's the chaplain with the first shirt. And he looks me in the eye. He tells me, your mother told me not to tell you this, but I believe that you have the right to know. You're an adult. You're a mature man. Your father's dead. You need to go home for your funeral. And I was just like, what do you do with that? You know, I mean, what in the world? This was September 30th, 2001, right after September 11th attacks had happened. And, you know, emotionally, I was kind of distressed already, thinking we're going to war, you know, what's going on with this. And I had to fly home and go to my father's funeral. And that was really difficult. I got back and I was lost, you know. What next? What do I do now? What do I believe? You know, this whole Jesus is the way, he's the truth, he's the life. You can't get to the Father without him. And here's my father. You know, I never heard my dad accept Christ. When I talked to my dad, the last conversation I had when I went home, you know, he shared with me how, oh, when I was your age, I was lost like that. One day you'll understand. And at that point, I just was devastated. And my response to that whole situation was, I need to take some time off and figure things out. You know, this Bible, I like it, but I need to take some time off. So I closed my Bible, and so I'm working, doing my thing in the military. A couple months go by, and I really start to go into a depression. I come home, you know, I stop eating, I'm sleeping all day, I'm working, life just sucks. I mean, there's no joy, no nothing. Don't really have friends, trying to meet people. All the guys I'm meeting, you know, they're partying, I don't want to do that. But then again, you know, I don't really have much else to do, and so military, start making money, start going to the mall, start buying fancy clothes. So now back in the day, I was the, you know, Volkswagen van driving, hippie thread wearing, whatever. But with the money, I said, oh yeah, I'll go to the, so I'm hanging out with these cats, we're buying leather and cashmere. It was silly. I'm like looking in the mirror, like, what in the world did I just buy? Now, growing up, I was never into people's opinions. My whole mentality growing up was the Eminem F it, you know, I don't care what you have to say, I don't care what you think, and that was just the bottom line. Now, when I accepted Christ, I started to value people's opinion, especially wise counsel. Now, that's scriptural. I mean, it's certainly something which is biblical, but at the same time, to the extent in which you take it, it's really important that you don't go wrong in that area. And for me, I went wrong in that area. For me, the fear of man, people's opinion, you know, it got to the point to where God was saying, do this, but people were saying, you know, whatever, and I'd listen to whatever. I want to know what to do, I'd talk to people about it. I didn't bring it to God, you know. It was so important for me to be looked at as biblical and looked at as having it right. I was flooding myself with messages. I was listening to like 5 sermons a day. This was like for a year. I mean, 2 years, I'm listening to 5 to 10 sermons a day. I know that's kind of silly. You're like, what in the world's wrong with this kid? I was taking classes through Liberty on correspondence. I took New Testament, Old Testament. I was reading the books, you know, very, very good material. But again, I mean, the whole reason why I was doing this was to wear the coat. The people I was around, this is the coat, you know? Now, later, since then, I've kind of realized that there's a lot of liberty. It's not that we're liberal in Christ. We're not liberal. We're liberated. And that's what I believe. I believe that there's so much liberty in the church and the denominations. It's so easy to get caught up on the peripheral issues, non-essential issues. There are fundamental issues in which you cannot waver on. But on non-essential issues, there is liberty in there. There is liberty in there. And the folks I was in didn't see it like that. Everything was this, you know. Sign gifts of cease, premillennial, pre-tribulation. This is eschatology in the days. A lot of things in this nature, in which for me, I was blessed to have a charismatic lady pray for me. I was blessed to have a Reformed Presbyterian minister to me. So I didn't come out of this cookie cut. I couldn't look at it as, well, these people just don't know anything. I had to think about these things and search it. And the more I looked in the scriptures, the more confused I got. You know, and these folks didn't know how to put up with that. You know, for me, I'm the black sheep running around, questioning stuff. And that's really a difficult environment to be in. And I couldn't not do that. I wanted so much just to wear the jacket. But y'all ever see Tommy Boy, the Chris Farley, the fat man in a little coat, you know, and he ripped it? I don't know. Well, that was me. I mean, seriously. I was the black sheep, the nonconformist. I got called a liberal. I got called a heretic, unbiblical. That was my middle name for them. And it was a really tough environment to be in, especially when you love and desire respect. Now, it's so good to be founded theologically. I don't want to, I feel like I'm preaching. I'm not here to preach. I'm just here to share. I'll shut up. All right. Freedom. This is what I want to talk about. Freedom. I'm free. And for the first time in my life, you know, God says go and I'm gone. And that is an awesome thing to have, to experience that and to know that our God is an intellectual God. And we are intellectual creatures. We should think. We're sensible beings and we have been given common sense and the ability to think for a reason. Like the Bereans, we need to search the scriptures to see if things are so. But at the same time, he is just as much emotional and just as much personal and provisional as he is any of that stuff. And to take one without the other, you don't have a proper relationship with Christ. And that's just the bottom line.